Again, at the Hampton Avenue Church of Christ, to proclaim God's Word. And we're glad to see that we have these beautiful faces here again this afternoon. Because many, many didn't come back. Just as the same as the Bible, many of his disciples went back and walked no more. John 6 and 66. But this afternoon's lesson, we sang this morning, this afternoon. We're getting better too. Sound good. That's very good. The scripture reading came from Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. This evening lesson consists of knowledge. The Bible commands that we study. The Bible demands that we shall obtain knowledge. And the understanding of his knowledge, as read in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." With knowledge of God, the Bible says that it will increase us in our lives. You know, the Bible says also says that it's power in your tongue, the words that we use. God spoke everything into existence. Knowledge is going to be one of the main keys for each of us Christians as we grow. See, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3 and 18, the Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." So, we went to that scripture, talked a little bit about that. We talked a little bit about that at dinner time. You've been in the church 30 years. And I've been in the church one day. You shall have the same reward. Now, if you've been in the church 30 years and you don't know much as the man been in the church one day, what profit has you? The Lord say we must gain knowledge and grow. Here also, for ones of us that don't grow, and the main reason is prescribed in the Bible. I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it reads, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2 and 3. And it reads, 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with strong meat, for hitherto ye were not able to hear it, neither yet are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Strong meat and milk. Milk is supposed to be for the ones who just been in the church. That's why some congregations got pre-classes to go to teach them, because they're not ready for the actual Word of God, the meat part. Now, we've been in the church for years, and as it looks, many of us, as we look around in this area, in South Carolina, it's in the gospel all around the world. Most of the people are still on milk. Why? Because the Bible says why. You see what the Bible said? It's still strife. There's still a division, envy. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? A man with strong meat in the word, if that brother didn't understand it, I'm not going to bind it on him. He may not be capable of understanding at the time till the Holy Spirit opened it to his mind. But we say, well, you've been in the church all this time, you should know. But some we don't. Some are still on meat. And that's the problem today. The Bible says we must study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God. That's 2 Timothy 2 and 15. And here, we talked a little bit more about this strong meat and milk. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to read that whole chapter for us to get this full understanding. Hebrews chapter 5. Because most Christians who say they're on meat are still on milk. It says, for every high priest taken among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. For who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. For no man taketh his dishonor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron, the high priest. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that saith unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he says also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of the flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the times ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, we have to be Christians that's going to be able to eat meat. If we're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, we have to be strong. As the Bible tells us, we must put on the whole armor of God. And in order for us to be strong Christians, the Bible says, you must study. As we said this morning, the only way to know error is to know truth. Understand? And the only way for us to know truth is to study God's word. It doesn't say it's going to all come to you one day, one hour. But read his word and you will build your strength. As we talked this morning, building treasures for heaven. If you read this book, it's like building treasures for heaven. Because the Bible tells us here in Revelation chapter 1 and 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed. If you want to build treasures in heaven, blessed is he that readeth this book. That's what the scriptures say. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and 18 that we must grow in grace. Growing in grace. Like I might not learn as fast as you. Or you might not learn as fast as me. That's why the Bible talks about in the book, Psalm number 1, it was his season. we all have certain seasons for each and every one of us where we might be succeeding in something and you might do better. It might not be in your time, but the Lord will know when it's your time, when the Holy Spirit reacts and the light comes on. Just like when you first say, you know, that gospel must be real. That stuff they preaching down there got to be real. Your light came on. Now that light might not came on to that brother, but it came on to you. But I'm going to bind that on that brother. As we've talked about that in Matthew chapter 20 this afternoon, they said the labor, he sent our laborers into the field. Some labored early, some labored the middle of the day, some labored at the evening hour. But they all received and agreed for one penny. There won't be any big eyes and little U's in the kingdom where we plan to go. Study. As stated in Acts chapter 17, the Bereans. Acts 17:10, it reads. Acts 17:10, and it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were no more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Studying to be a strong Christian. I can come out here and tell you anything. I can say, just like Naaman one had to go dip in the Jordan. But I could go say, go dip in one of those other rivers, and you believe that. But if you didn't search the scriptures or believe what God said, you'll find out that was wrong. You must search the scriptures. You've got to make sure that what I say comes out of this book. That's the whole purpose of us being Christians. If I speak in the oracles of God, as the Bible said, if we do speak, 1 Peter 4:11, 4 and 11, 1 Peter, let them speak as the oracles of God. We used that scripture this morning, 4:20 of Acts. They said they can only speak the things which they had seen and heard. The man Jesus told him in John 5:39, to search the scriptures, for in them ye think he have eternal life, and they that which testify, if they are they which testify of me. So, those Judaizers, if they would have read the book and understood the scriptures, they would have known that was the Christ. See, the Bible tells us, if they would have known, and they would have searched the scriptures, that's 1 Corinthians 2:8, if I'm not mistaken. It says that, 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So they didn't search the scriptures. If they would have searched the scriptures, they would have known that was the Christ. And we today, if we would search the scriptures, we would know that this is the only way to heaven. What is it, John 14:6, I'm going to use it over and over. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. If you search the scriptures, there's no other religious organization in the world that's going to get you to heaven but this gospel. But you have to search the scriptures. Do you believe what the book says? Believe. Right? They said the devils believe. They said the devil believe and tremble. But do you have faith? Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. How much faith you got in the Lord? He didn't answer me today. You still got faith? He didn't answer you this day or the next day. Do you still have faith? Do you still put your trust in the Lord? He said he would never leave you nor forsake you, even until the end of the world. And he said he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. This knowledge, this wisdom, the book says that you must study. First, a Christian, you heard it, you believed it, then you repented of your sins, you confessed Christ as your Savior, and then you were baptized into the gospel of Christ. Here today, Hampton Avenue Church of Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 20 and 28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto your flock, to yourselves, and to all the flock over which you are overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves," that would have went with the lesson this morning, "shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." This church, as the minister here at this church, I must feed you with God's word to the best of my ability so that you will be strong. Matter of fact, for me not to say it like that, I can give you scripture. I'll turn to it's in the Timothy, to make sure we got it right. Timothy chapter 1, 2, 2 Timothy 2. Yes, 2 Timothy 2. I don't have to say like that. I'll use scripture. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." That's a Christian. As a minister, I'm supposed to feed the flock. I'm supposed to be able to teach others. You supposed to be able to do the same thing. Teach others. Tell somebody about Jesus. You don't have to be a Jesus fanatic. Just tell them about the Lord. And the rest is up to the Holy Spirit and that person, if the word pricks his heart. We as Christians, Christ purged our sins, and now he sits down on the right hand of the majesty on high. From the book of Hebrews chapter 1, like it says, "God who at sun-dried times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but has in these last days spoken unto us through his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, Christ being the brightest of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And the Bible goes on to say, being made so much better than the angels. That's our Lord, and that's our Savior. We, as Christians, must grow to obtain strong meat. You know, it said that you can be a log on a lump, a lump on a log. If you don't gain no progress in all this time you've been in the church, and say, "Well, tell me this scripture." Well, at least you can quote one scripture. The Bible said you got to get this word in you. Why? Because it's the seed, and the seed must grow. The seed must, it says in Colossians, that it must dwell in you richly. If you don't get this word in you, what are you going to have to fight the devil? The Bible says, if we study, make sure that we examine ourselves. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21 that we should prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. As I learned this lesson and learned this gospel, I'm trying to hold fast. The Philippians 1 and 6 may give a better understanding. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can you hold on? Every day won't be a bread of roses just because you say you're a Christian. Matter of fact, we got it easy. Because during our first century, if you was a Christian, they was using you as a lamppost, setting you on fire, and you lit up the streets of Rome. How many of us would denounce Christ? That's a hard saying, right? We have never come to that. They say, denounce Christ or die. Would I say I still love the Lord? Fortunately, by his grace and his mercy, we haven't been subject to such brutality. But all those people died before us. Stephen being the first. The Bible said he was stoned. You ever got hit with a rock? Anybody? So you can imagine how that feels. For somebody to hit you with a rock, and hit you with a rock, and hit you with a rock, till you died. But he died for what? Because he was not afraid. He knew who he worshipped. He loved the Lord with all his mind. That's what the Bible says. What's in Mark chapter 12? Matthew, Mark. Mark and 12. I will read it. The greatest commandment. That's what the Bible says. Mark 12 and 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely, this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Look what it says. "There is none other commandment greater than these." So a lot of us ain't going to make it because we don't love my brother. When he said, "Your brother," remember what he said, the Good Samaritan? Well, who is my brother? And we found out to be, your brother might not be your cousin, or your neighbor, or your brother as a Christian. Your brother is the man next door that you never said hello to. That's your brother. That's your sister. Your brother, your sister, the person living next door that you know was hungry, but you didn't what? Give him nothing to eat. The Bible, it gives emphasis on that. He said, when did we not feed you, Lord? When we not give you drink? He said, if you did it to the least of them, you did it to me. But then you say, I'm a Christian. I want to go to heaven. Oh, it's going to be a rough day on Judgment Day. In 1 John 4 and 1, it says, "Blessed, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." We were on that this morning, of false teaching and false prophets. I didn't get a chance, it slipped my mind. But in the book of Jeremiah, it gives us an ample understanding of false prophets. We're not going to be able to read the whole thing, but we'll read a couple of verses. Jeremiah 23. Of false prophets and false teachers. You will have to read up on them so you'll know. The Bible says they will come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing. Jeremiah 23, the Bible says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord." We're going to turn over for time purposes. Here, let's turn over to 21. Jeremiah 23 and 21. He said, "I have not sent those prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets say, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long should this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff of the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. They shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. And it goes on to talk about, we don't have time for time's sake, for false prophets that have come into the world. That's why we must study, so that we will know truth and error. That's why this lesson is about knowledge. Knowledge is the key. I know we heard that in the secular world. Reading is what? Fundamental. And I want to say, it's a terrible thing to lose your mind. Right? And like I said, I was always to hear my grandmother, years ago when I was coming up, she would pray, I'm so happy, Lord, that I woke up in my right mind. Because you can wake up tomorrow morning and be dead. What's the word we can say? Dingy as a bat. But to wake up this morning to be in your right mind, that's a privilege from God. Now, did you say thank you this morning? So many of us probably didn't say a thing when he rolled out that bed. Just got up and kept rolling. But give God thanks. Give him thanks for all he's done for you. But now he's trying to bring, we talked about this morning about quality control. Right? We talked about what quality control is. The product is already produced correct, but when it comes to quality control, we're going to perfect it. With this word, you can perfect your life. You can come to perfection. That's what the Bible say. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is written by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God can be what? Perfect. And fully furnished unto all good works. It says, why should a Christian study? We today, remember when you said to yourself, that's right, I'm going to stay in this, this got to be right. And you realize that you was in another religious organization, but it didn't confirm with the book. And you say, you know, that's right, I'm going to follow this way. Right? Jesus said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's that spirit inside you to open up to say, that's right. Just like we tell somebody they wrong in the scripture. We were talking about that this afternoon. I can't make them change. I can tell them what they're doing wrong. I can preach to them what's in the Bible, what's the correct way. But until the spirit inside them open up, what can I do? Pray for them to get better, right? That's what God told us to do. That's what he told Simon Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, the devil want to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. Do we pray for each other? Most of the time, you know, he said, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Do we pray for each other? Most of the time, when we think about somebody, we're thinking bad about them. Do you ever think good about, I sure wish they do good. I sure wish whatever he was thinking about or he was hoping for, that's how you got to think as a Christian. Right? That's going to be the object. Wishing good, not bad. Right? We go on. He says in Romans 10:17, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So maybe some of us may have never heard that before. But now, we read that again this morning in the book of Philippians and the book of Romans. You don't have to confess Christ. You don't have to believe in this gospel. But the Bible says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. And it's going to be too late if you don't agree with this gospel before you close your eyes. Well, Hebrews 9:27, it has been appointed on a day for each of us. I got an appointment, you got an appointment, and we're talking about the death, right? They said that's one appointment. I heard a preacher say, that's one appointment you won't miss. We can cancel the doctor appointment. We can cancel the hairdresser. But this appointment here, when your number come up, you can't say, Lord, hold on. You can't say, Lord, wait a minute, I'll be there tomorrow. It's too late. And if you don't have this gospel, guess what? According to this Bible, it's too late. The book of Ephesians, we hadn't gotten into it, but we're going to get to it one of these days. He's coming back to say he's the Savior of the body. Not bodies, the body. So in the body, Christ is the head of the church, which is the body. He's only coming back to save one. Matthew 16:18 said, upon this rock I would build my church. And that's the only one he's coming back to marry to. He's not coming back to marry John Smite or Russell or Wesley or one of those other guys who started a religious organization, that congregation. He's coming back to start and marry the church that he started. And it started on the day of Pentecost when Jesus went back to heaven. And he said he shall return. Do you believe? That's the faith we got to have. After all this time that went by, 2,000 years ago the book was written. Do you believe in this Jesus Christ? Do you believe he's coming back? That's what the Bible says. Right? John 14, you believe in God? He said, believe also in me. Because in my Father's house, there were many mansions. To be saved, eternity. The book says, James 1:21, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. What's going to save your soul? The engrafted word. The word. And who was the word? And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And who was that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one going to save you. We said it in 14:6 again. We can repeat it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. How? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. On that confession, I believe that his heavenly Father raised him from the dead. Do you believe? 2,000 years, we can show many of his disciples went back, and they were there. Remember what he told Thomas? Blessed of those who have not seen and yet believe. I've never seen him. We talked about that this afternoon. I don't know what he looked like. But I believe. You better believe. Because the time's going to come. And you're going to have to stand for the cause. The Bible says in Acts 2:21, and those that gladly received the word were baptized. Knowledge. They were smart enough to accept it. Now, we're bringing it out. Like, we plan to go out in a couple of weeks or so. For the ones who accept it, hopefully they accept it gladly. Now, you go tell somebody about Jesus. Well, I don't believe it's supposed to be like that. They got something to say. The Bible doesn't tell you what to do. We just want to perfect it for you so you will know. Don't give me no lip. As Brother Hampton would always say, don't give me no lip, give me script. So we're going to go to the book. Tell them what the book say. If they want to fight with you, the Bible say, they that gladly. That means when I come tell you about Jesus, I ain't going to be telling you about nothing. I'm not going to try to disrupt you. I'm going to let you, I want to hear. The Bible say, be what? Slow to speak. Right? Quick to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. That's what the Bible say from the book of James. See, listen. I asked a person one time, which one would you think you'd rather live without? Seeing or hearing? You think you could make it if you didn't have no hearing? Or you could make it better with just eyesight and no hearing? Try to see. Put your hands over your ears when you get home and just walk around the house. Can't hear nothing. I think I'd rather hear than see sometime. At least you can hear, you can figure it out. You know? But if you can't, if you can't hear, you might can see, but if you can't hear nothing, you don't see that car, you don't hear nothing. You walk right into that car with me. But you can still be blind, can hear that car. So if what you hear in your head is going to be very, very important, what you hear. No, don't neglect, not to say neglect eyesight and hearing, but hearing is one of the most essential things as a Christian. What you hear, let's get understanding. That's what the Bible says. I left that out. Proverbs 4. I left that out. Proverbs 4. Yes, indeed. I left that one out. Proverbs 4:1-7. Hearing is very, very essential as a Christian in anything you do in life. Proverbs 4:1-7. It says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend unto no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words, and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, the Bible says, get understanding. We can read this Bible all day and if you don't understand it, what good is it going to do? Like I said before, I met the Presbyterian preacher. He would say he was preaching 30 years. So evidently he wouldn't get no understanding. Because I know if you were preaching in any religious organization, or just not even preaching, if you were reading the Bible every day for 30 years, you know what the book say and what some other religious organization is trying to teach. They say if you dropped it into the heart of Africa, or any other continent, just boom, a whole box of them. When them people come back 10 years from now, if they do everything in this book, they're going to be Christians. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. The Bible says we must study, 2 Timothy 2:15, and show thyself approved unto God, not man. The words which I speak here today it happened, God's word. It says in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. That's the Bible. And again, I use that over here, Luke 10:16. He that despises me, he that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. That's what the book say, Luke 10:16. Right? Them same words going to judge you in the last day. We Christians, if we study, in Matthew 5:6, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that hunger. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? The Bible tells us in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Pray. Pray. We all must pray, our Father. As we said this morning, we heard some of David said, hear my cry, O Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Have mercy on me. The words that we read are in this book. This is the only thing going to get us to heaven. We must ask our Father. The Bible tells us this morning, as we read within Matthew chapter 6, let's not be as the heathen and the hypocrites. The Bible has order. It tells you, when you have your alms, don't be as the hypocrites. When you fast, don't be as the hypocrites with a sad countenance of faith. When you pray, go into your closet and pray secretly, where he will reward thee openly. That's what the Bible says. Don't be as the people of the world. We are special people. We are chosen people. Just like we read this morning, Deuteronomy 7:6. Those were special people chosen unto God. He chose them. And we too. We became Abraham's seed. We got the same blessing. We are special people unto God himself. Do you know who you are as a Christian? You change your lifestyle. You would change your lifestyle. I'll be king, Lord have mercy. We're going to get through. Psalm 119:104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate any false way. Psalm 119:4. My knowledge of study, God in Christ. Here I went to 1 John 2. We'll be out of here in a second. 1 John 2:1-4. And reads, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. For if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for yours only, but also for the sins of the world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's what the Bible say. So, for time purposes, we won't get it. I can get this one in. The Bible says in Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Remember what happened to Lot's wife? When she looked back, what happened? She turned into a pillar of salt. Once you put your hand to the gospel, don't look back. It gives you another understanding. That's in 2 Peter. I don't know all these verses. I don't know why. They pop in and pop out. It gives us another understanding when once we start out in this Christianity. It says 2 Peter 2:19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought to bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of the righteous than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in the wallowing in the mare. You know how bad it's going to be once you come to know the truth and turn it back? That's what the Bible say. So this church this afternoon, it says, now all these things happen unto them for an example. 1 Corinthians 10:11. And they are written for our admonishment until the ends of the world have come. So it's not going to be no excuse. Blessings and curses. It says again in Romans 15:4. All this was written for our learning. We might not. I'm going to just have to speed it up. And it says, there are ways to study to gain knowledge. We have classes. We have sermons. You can read it. You can have tapes. We must search the scriptures just as the Bereans. We must read good material, things pertaining to the truth, the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 4:13, Paul speaks concerning his personal library. You got to get books that's righteous. You know, that's if you're still able to eat meat. Now, don't get no kind of literature if you ain't ready for strong meat. Now, if you ain't ready for strong meat, you got to make sure you got the right literature that's going to make you strong enough to. The Bible says we must grow, right? Because if you get the wrong knowledge up front, you'll be lost. You understand? So listen to the older ones in the body. They'll give you, you know, the women, they tell the women, teach the younger women. That's what the Bible says in Titus 2. Be a good example. We all must be taught of God. So, with the conclusion of this lesson, knowledge is the key. And one must study to show thyself a workman, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This evening's lesson, thank you. Romans 10:17, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you must believe. Mark 16:15-16, the Bible says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Then you must repent. Luke 13:3-5, the Bible tells, I'll tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then you must confess. Confession. Confession, the Bible says, is made with the mouth. Like I said again and again, it's an individual effort. I confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. I confess what? I believe that the Lord God Almighty raised him from the dead. Then what? What must they do? They asked Peter, what must we do to be saved? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So this evening's lesson on knowledge. So don't wait till Wednesday again to pick your Bible up. Thank you.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing in, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear, sweeping the tongues of
prayers. We can pray for you, or we'd like to repent of your sins. We can all come together. We pray this congregational prayer. As we pray, Heavenly Father, we come to you again on this first day of the week to give you honor. Heavenly Father, we come to you with bowed heads and humble hearts. Heavenly Father, as we've learned, teach us not to be as the heathen and the hypocrite. Teach us to do the right thing in your sight, Heavenly Father. To love the Lord thy God. To love my brother as myself. Heavenly Father, strengthen us on this journey. Heavenly Father, we do not know where the end may be for the journey that we take. But Heavenly Father, be the light upon our path. That no darkness can come between us. Guide us and strengthen us, Heavenly Father. Pray for all those who come back this afternoon to hear another portion of your word. Heavenly Father, with these prayers we pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
What shall they not sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.